Today is the 26th of September 1994, and I want to take up today the subject of a vengeance. Vengeance. Vengeance is one of those fascinating mental phenomena that people get so interiorized into that they find it incredibly difficult to evaluate or to study or to find anything about. You can ransack all the books on psychology in the libraries and so forth, and you will find this subject of vengeance mentioned. You will find it described. You will find examples of it, particularly in clinical psychology and so forth. But nowhere will you find the mechanism of vengeance explained. Now, this is true also in Dianetics and Scientology. Ron did excellent pioneer work on the overt act motivator sequence. He defined the overt act and he defined the motivator, both of which you'll find defined in the write-up of Trom. And you put those two together, the overt act motivator sequence, and we have the subject of vengeance. But nowhere in Dianetics and Scientology does Ron say why the mechanism exists. How come the mechanism? He describes the mechanism admirably, but he does not give the rationale behind the mechanism. Apparently it was unknown to Ron. It was unknown to Ron. But Ron was in excellent company, because it seems to have been unknown to every other psychological researcher on this planet. But you might say it's a perfectly natural mechanism that if somebody does something harmful to you, it's natural and instinctive to do something, to do that harmful thing back to them. Oh? Why? Why is it natural? Why? That's what we've got to ask, is why? Why the mechanism? Why the mechanism? It's not as obvious, it's not as rational, it's not as reasonable as you might suppose. The more you examine this, the more irrational the mechanism becomes. For example, somebody comes along and punches you. Why do you feel an urge to punch them? Of all the things you could do, of all the infinite responses you could make, why do you feel the urge to punch them after they punch you? Why not, as Jesus Christ said, why not turn the other cheek? You see, of all the choices there, why that one? And until you can answer that question, you don't understand vengeance. But in Trom, we do understand the mechanism, and we do understand why a person receiving a punch will feel compelled to punch the person who punched him. In other words, why he feels compelled to get into this subject of vengeance. The mechanism of vengeance is what might be called a stimulus response mechanism. It's not a considered response. It's not a thing of the analytical mind. It's a response mechanism. It's what the psychologists would call, or some brands of psychologists would call, a stimulus response mechanism. You can see this. You see a group of boys on their way to school in the morning. There they are walking along carrying their books, and suddenly, for no reason that we know of, one of the boys will turn around and punch one of the other boys in the back. You know, it was a nice sunny morning and he felt like doing it, so he did it. Now, watch the other boy. Watch the second boy who was punched. He doesn't stand there and say, now, what is my response to this? His response is immediate and instant. He will go straight in and attempt to punch the boy that punched him, and preferably punch him in the same part of his body that he received the punch. It's an exact replica. The stimulus is so powerful that the second lad would have to be restrained from punching the boy who punched him. He would have to be restrained. What is the basis of this mechanism? How come this mechanism? Well, that is the subject of this. That's the subject of this talk. We ought, I suppose, at the outset, to give some definition, some form of definition of the subject of vengeance. And I won't attempt to define it accurately or precisely. But let's just say that loosely vengeance can be defined or described as the urge to give back to a person some unwanted action that they performed against you. You receive an unwanted action and your urge is to give back that unwanted action to the person who gave it to you. That is essentially vengeance. I mean, we could chitter this up and so forth, and you end up eventually with a very precise definition. But I don't want to do it at this stage, because until we understand the mechanism of vengeance, our definition will be very, 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 very shallow, very, very incomplete. Now, to understand this mechanism of vengeance, we have to look at the goals packages. Because this gives the goals packages give the interchange of postulates, counter-postulates and so forth in life. And only by examining, in other words, the answer to this subject of vengeance, the reason why of the subject of vengeance, can only be found in the subject of the goals packages. So let us look at an ordinary goals package. Let us look at the to know goals package and... let's say it's where games play is non-compulsive, and that is the most wide open of all the goals packages, the basic goals package, and games play is non-compulsive. We couldn't have any less restrictions, in other words. So let's look at this, and let's imagine that one person is occupying the must be known postulate, and his opponent is occupying the mustn't know postulate. And let us assume that this game goes on in progress and that mustn't know wins the game. Now, at the point where he wins the game, he drives must be known into mustn't be known. We get the postulate change. Must be known goes through the IP barrier and then goes into mustn't be known. So at this point in time, call the person who was operating on must be known, we'll call him person A, and the person who, the victor in the game, was person B. He was working with the mustn't know postulate. Well, person A receives the overwhelm and moves from must be known to mustn't be known. Now, person A then is now... His postulate that he's using against the universe, he's using in the universe, is mustn't be known. But this isn't vengeance, is it? This isn't vengeance. There he received an overwhelm. He received something he didn't want. He didn't want to be driven from mustn't be known into mustn't be known, but he was driven into it. So he received an overwhelm. His postulate was overwhelmed. He lost the game. And... where's the vengeance here? There's the person overwhelmed him. He was overwhelmed by mustn't know, but his postulate changed from must be known to mustn't be known. It didn't change from must be known to mustn't know. He's now not firing off a mustn't know postulate back at the person who overwhelmed him, is he? So there's no vengeance. Well, that's very strange. Very strange, isn't it? Where's the vengeance? How come vengeance gets into games play? Well, you need some limitation of the goals package in order for the mechanism to show itself. Now, what sort of limitation do you need? Well, there's two limitations you need on the goals package to make vengeance occur. And once these limitations are made in the goals package, vengeance will occur and always occur in the goals package. So we can nail it. We can nail it completely. Now, what are these two limitations? The first limitation on the goals package is that games play must be compulsive in the postulate set, in the goals package. In other words, the complementary postulate situation is out. That's reduced to zero. Games play is compulsive. The games, the four classes in the set have been reduced down to the two games classes. I refer you to my talk on supplementary lectures 3 around about that period on the subject of compulsive gameplay. Just review that material if necessary, so that you understand exactly what we mean by compulsive gameplay. So the postulate set is reduced now down to 2 games classes. That's the first requisite. Compulsive gameplay must occur in the set. Now the second requisite is that the postulate set must be reduced down to a 1 game class postulate set. So, first requisite, compulsive gameplay, that reduces the postulate set down to 2 game classes. Second requisite, the postulate set must be reduced down to a single games class. Now, as you recall, there's a definite way of doing this. The person reduces it for a 2 games class postulate set down to a 1 game class postulate set by simply refusing to occupy one of the games classes, or in other words, that the postulates in that game in that games class are reduced to 0, and that reduces the set down to a single game class. In the general case, the first limitation, we have to say the XY set. The first limitation would be to reduce that set down to the classes of X and 1 minus Y, and that's the first game. And the other game is Y and 1 minus X. That's the second game. Well, by making Y equal to 0 and 1 minus X equal to 0, the person now has reduced it down to a single game class postulate set of X and 1 minus Y, hasn't he? Because the other classes aren't available to him. Those postulates have been reduced to 0. He decided not to use them. So that's how it's done. All this is mentioned on Supplementary Lecture 3. All right, now let's see how this would work out in an actual example. Let's take the goal to punch. The example of the schoolboy is now to punch. The goals package to punch. It has the purpose to punch, to not punch, to be punched, and to not be punched. Now, reducing that down to a 1 game class postulate set, let's reduce it down to the class of to punch and to not be punched. That's the single game class. To punch and to not be punched. The class of the game of to be punched and to be punched and to not punch is reduced to 0. Okay? So we reduce it down to a 1 game class postulate set. Now, let's look at a game situation. We have the person. Now, we have player A. He's occupying the to punch role, and player B is occupying the to not be punched role, and both of them have got this set reduced down to a 1 game class postulate set, right? Okay, now player A wins the game. He punches and he drives his punch home, so player B's postulate mustn't be punched is overwhelmed. Now it goes into must be punched, right? So now we have a complementary postulate situation. The game ends. Player A has won the game. The situation now is must punch and must be punched. Overwhelm, end of game. Now, let's take the viewpoint of player B. He's now driven into must be punched. But he's already agreed that must be punched is not a game he can play. So he can't use that postulate in games play. But he can't use the mustn't be punched postulate because that's in overwhelm. He's just lost that game, so he can't use that postulate. So, and he can't use must be punched because that, he's agreed, is a 0 postulate. So he can't stay on that side of the goals package, can he? All the postulates on that side of the goals package are now unavailable to him. So he has no choice but to do a valence flip over to the other side of the package. So he arrives on the other side of the package, and the two postulates on the other side of the package are must punch and mustn't punch. But mustn't punch, he's already agreed, is not a playable game, because the set is reduced down to a one game class. So he goes into the postulate must punch, and that's the one he uses. And so he just goes ahead and punches. So there is the vengeance. You see it? It's all that can happen when the postulate set is reduced down to a single games class. Vengeance is all that can happen. The person is in a must punch, mustn't be punched game, receives a punch, he violently flips over to the other side of the package and punches. That's all he can do, just like the schoolboy. Walking along the road, somebody punches him. The only thing he can do is punch back. He has to flip over to the other side of the goals package. His mustn't be punched got overwhelmed. So he now flips over to the other side of the goals package quite compulsively and dramatises must punch. And there is the explanation of the vengeance mechanism. It's the only explanation of the vengeance mechanism. There is no other explanation. There is no other valid explanation of the mechanism, because this happens to be the truth of the matter. So in Trom, with our understanding of the goals packages, we have for the first time, and to the best of my knowledge, the first time in the whole of human history, an understanding of the vengeance mechanism. We can actually say why it happens. For the first time, we can take this phenomena of vengeance out of the class of things that, oh well, it's just human. It's just a human foible. To take it out of the class of that and now reduce it down and say it happens because of so-and-so and so-and-so, and nail it right down to the board. We've got it. Now, all that's needed to, we need to know now, all we need to ask now is vengeance. We know that vengeance will only occur when a goals package is reduced down to a single game class postulate set. So all we now have to ask, under what circumstances or what sort of goals packages can be reduced down to a single game class postulate set? Well, the answer is any goals package can. If game play becomes sufficiently compulsive within the goals package, it eventually will be reduced down to a single game class postulate set. It can apply to any goals package. But there are some goals packages, by their very nature, only can intrinsically, by their very nature, intrinsically can only have a one game class postulate set. Now, what sort of goals are these? These are the highly destructive goals. The destructive goals. So to give you an example, let's take the goal to destroy. Now, the goal to destroy has the postulates in it to destroy, let's give the enforcements, must destroy, mustn't destroy, must be destroyed, mustn't be destroyed. Well, quite clearly, the only playable game in that goals package is must destroy versus mustn't be destroyed. Now, why is that? Well, the other game is must be destroyed versus mustn't destroy. But how on earth can you win a game when your postulate is must be destroyed? Every time you win with that postulate, you lose because you're destroyed. Get it? So that is an unplayable game. So destroy goals package only has one games class in its postulate set, which is must destroy versus mustn't be destroyed. So any destructive action, any goals package where the to blank leg of where the to blank postulate is a destructive postulate will contain only contain a one game class postulate set. And when we see this goals package in life, we will always see vengeance associated with it. associated with it. It's not that there's a choice on these gas packages, or I'll put it this way, in general, when the gas package has been reduced down to a single game class postulate set, any time we see games play within that gas package, we will see vengeance. Now you see how we've nailed it. We've now pinpointed it. We've pinned it to the balls, haven't we? We've got it. We've got the whole subject of vengeance now. Returning to our example of the schoolboys, we can now see the goal to punch. The goal's package there has must, the legs are must punch, mustn't punch, must be punched, mustn't be punched. But the only game that's playable in that goal's package is must punch versus mustn't be punched. The other game of must be punched versus mustn't punch is an unplayable game, because it's the postulate must be punched is a destructive, it's a self-destructive postulate. Person can't win in life occupying that postulate, so that game's an unplayable game. So that is why when we see the schoolboys walking on the road, one punches the other. Why, the boy who is punched immediately punches back. It's all he can do. There's nothing else he can do in the to punch goals package, because that goals package, by its very nature, intrinsically, by its very nature, has been reduced to a one game class postulate set. Now, these destructive goals packages, these so-called non-life goals packages, we call them non-life goals packages, are very, very common. They're very, very common, and each, every one of them has a single game class postulate set, and each and every one of them will manifest vengeance in the goals package. Once the person gets into the goals package, they're into vengeance. Now, this is a tremendously valuable technical datum, give you a tremendous understanding of the human psyche, a tremendous understanding of this phenomenon of vengeance. You see how the person gets into this subject of a destructive goals package, you know, and people spend their whole lives in this subject of vengeance. You know, you can get family feuds that go on for generations, and every few years the feud bursts out, and they go out and start firing rifles at each other and killing each other, and they all come back and bury their dead, and it all quietens down, and they lick their wounds, and they then plot vengeance against the other family again, and then a few years later it's on again, and they're killing each other again. And it can happen internationally. I mean, for hundreds of years the countries of Germany and France have been at vengeance with each other. These two countries have got a constant overt act motivator sequence. It's been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Just read up your history books. Either Germany is invading France, or France has been invading Germany. It's been going on and on and on, and it will just go on and on, you see. It just goes on forever until you understand the mechanism and can stop doing it and just erase the whole goddamn stupid mechanism from the mind. Once the person gets stuck in these in a goals package which has been reduced down to a one game class postulate set, they're into vengeance. And once into vengeance, it goes on forever. There's no end to vengeance. There's no end to it. And that is the final thing you should know about vengeance. It never ends. It's got no end, no posture to end it. If there ever was a mechanism in this universe which ensured that the universe would jog along forever, it would be the vengeance mechanism, the overt act motivator sequence. It just absolutely guarantees it. You know, a person can get so far stuck into vengeance that the only reason he stays alive is in order to wreak vengeance upon the opponent. That's the only thing that's keeping him alive. Without that, he would die. But it's sufficient motivation to keep him alive. You know, it can get that bad. And it keeps the whole mechanism keeps this universe jogging along keeps compulsive games played, jogging along in the universe, is this mechanism of vengeance. And now we can understand it in Tron. And understanding it, we can do something about it. Now, as I say, any goals package by compulsive games play can be reduced down to a single game class boss, let's say. But it's fairly rare on a life goals package. Fairly rare. In the to no goals package, I can't conceive of a person being able to operate in life if that goals package was reduced down to a single game class boss, let's say. But there are some junior life goals which can be, where vengeance can occur. You can see in the to sex goals package, you will see vengeance, and that's a life goals package. There is such a thing as sexual vengeance, so it can happen in a junior life goals package. But I don't think I can't conceive of it happening in the basic to no goals package. But it can happen in a junior life goals package. But by far and by and away, the vast majority of vengeance comes about when a person gets stuck in one of these non-life destructive junior goals packages, like to destroy or to punch or to blame or to degrade, or, you know, there's an army of them, there's thousands of them, when they get stuck in one of these non-life junior goals packages. And this goals package has only got a one game class boss, let's say. And once they get into the goals package, they're into vengeance, and it's going to kill them, and it's going to destroy them eventually, the goals package is, but they're going to destroy an awful lot of people around them in the meantime, before it eventually destroys them. It's a very, very nasty mechanism. Or, to put it around the other way, if we could ever end this subject of vengeance on this planet in mankind, if we could just take mankind and end the subject of vengeance, get him psychologically to a point where he stopped using it, he just finishes with it, that's it, we would have a utopia on this planet. We could just end that rather stupid game called vengeance. And it is a very, very stupid game, I can assure you. As you come to study this subject, study the material I've given you on this tape, you'll realise not only the utter futility of vengeance, but the sheer maniacal stupidity of it. Well, I see I'm running out of tape here, and so I'm going to have to close off now. So I hope this material is of use to you, and thank you very much.